It's a real blessing to be here again and just to catch up with some of our brethren up north, because we're down south, and quite a ways down south. And we're really enjoying our time in Tasmania. It's been a real blessing to be down there, and we believe that it's of the Lord. It's a different type of ministry down there. There's lots of old Christians down there who've been saved through the Billy Graham Crusades over the years, and a lot of the churches are dying, or they're dead. Very few young people in the churches, because most of the young people go off to the mainland to work. And so, you know, it fragments the family, and, you know, we're endeavouring to be an encouragement to some of the older Christians who are sort of just, they're just sleeping and just ready to fall off the perch and go to heaven, you know. But, you know, we've got a work to do here, haven't we? We've got service to do here. And even elderly folk, even in a care home, we've met some people, you know, where the wife went in with the husband, and the wife's got this great ministry, or had this great ministry until they passed away, with other people there in the nursing home. So, you know, we don't quit until our last breath of life quits. And then it's a new beginning. Amen?
It's all part of life.
Now, I did get a last night, we printed off with great difficulty, you know, typical... whenever I want to print something off, technology fails. But we got it through with a lot of patience and that. So there's a bit of a newsletter there just to let you know from our field director in the Philippines, Nolan Diaz. His wife is a doctor. And she's, they're very busy with different aspects of the ministry, medical clinics, and also a lot of medical care. And we've had some quite serious cases that we've been needing to deal with, some in the terminal area. And it's really sad when we see some of these situations happen to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, just as I'm sure you see that here. And, you know, just sad to, you know, to have to deal with it. But at the same time, we really are thankful to the Lord that we're able to contribute in some way, either by prayer or by giving financially or support, you know, maybe in the area of edification or encouragement, whatever it be, that their life might just be that little bit easier as they continue on serving the Lord. I'll just read the little caption. It's not very long. It won't take a moment. There's a greeting there, and it says, "Greeting in the name of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. His mercies are forever. We thank God for medical gospel outreach, campus ministry, feeding and radio broadcasts. The Lord gave us 581 souls witnessed and won to the Lord." And that's over the last few months. You know, they're very active in campus ministry, police academies. We've got a green light to go into the universities with the moral recovery program. A lot of the pastors over there are registered with the moral recovery program, which is ratified by the Philippines government. And so we can just go in and just organize with the headship, the leadership of the particular teaching facility, whether it's a university, a police academy, army, navy, air force, whatever it be. It's all, you know, all documents are there, paperwork, and we can just go in and preach the gospel. How about that? You know, and then there are people that go out in service, school teachers, you know, all different areas of work and professions, many of them go out. They sort of went into college unsaved, and they get saved when the moral recovery program comes along, and they go out into the field as a born-again believer, and having an effect on a lost and dying world. So it's pretty amazing. Thank you so much for your trust and support to this God-given ministry. And there's a few photos there. I'll just flick through them a little bit. Medical outreach and that. With the printer, the technology missed that, but don't worry about it. They have bigger paper than we do. They have the American-sized paper, so I have to reduce it down but when we printed out on our paper, we didn't reduce this one down, as you can see. But there's some photos there of the feeding programs and medical things. And if I could just make mention of a couple of people, Vilma Salonai, she was a soul winner for years. I think I gave her about 6 Bibles over the time, over the last 30 years. She just wore them out, you know. And particularly when you're going up into the mountains and out on the little pump boats and all that sort of thing. And anyway, she got cervical cancer and she dealt with it for quite a bit and it went into remission and then eventually it came back and visited her again and it's just recently taken her home. But we praise the Lord that we had an opportunity to prolong her ministry in a physical sense. And, you know, when the pastor is talking about edification and encouragement, that's a big thing that's left out of our ministry. And you know what? That keeps the engine running. You know, it keeps our engines running. You know, we like to be encouraged, don't we? We like to be built up in the Lord. Jemima was a pastor's daughter who they contacted me. She was having kidney failure. She was a big young lady married with 2 little girls. And she's the right hand, as it were, from even young to her dad, who's a pastor with a ministry to the insane, Pastor Greg Sabravis. And anyway, she took ill. She was hospitalized. They did some initial diagnosis and she was on death's door. She had all sorts of problems health-wise. I've got a report, but the medical report. But the bottom line was that she had to be hospitalized and had to have some toes amputated. And if she didn't change her diet rapidly and so on, you know, it would be the foot and then it'd be, you know, just keep going with that sort of thing. But praise the Lord, you know, you wouldn't know it today. And this only happened last week. Just the last few months, you know, you wouldn't know her. Just how it is that we can just undergird these brothers and sisters in the Lord who are doing it hard on the field so that they can keep on keeping for the Lord. And anyway, she's back in ministry now and she's missing a few toes, but she's doing fine. Then we hear about Pastor Greg, her dad, and he had a couple of strokes. I visited him in August when I was on the field. And, you know, he was speaking with just a slight slur and just slowly getting along. And he's running quite an amazing ministry for the insane over there. They treat the insane like dogs, like animals. They chain them up even because they don't know how to deal with them, you know. And Pastor Greg rescues them and he brings them in and they start singing hymns and they have services throughout the day. And the word of God permeates their heart and their soul and their spirit. And it's just amazing how that they're able to withdraw them off some of the medication if they can afford it. And then little by little, they I'm not talking about healing magical ministry here, but I'm talking about some of those people. You wouldn't believe it. Who they were when they came in and who they are. And then we heard about Nini Luena. She's a pastor's wife. Oh, well, I didn't finish with Pastor Greg. We put him through medical. He's had the MRI and different things, and it turned out he'd had a couple more strokes. But praise the Lord, he says, I must have a hard brain. If you know Pastor Greg, he's got a real sense of humour. You'd have to for the ministry that he has. But, yeah, it's just quite amazing that he now is back and we're just doing a bit more follow-up medical with him. They've had to put him on some pretty serious medication and that. But, you know, the big thing is that he's still on serving and still carrying on. And then Nini Luena, some years ago, she had she had breast cancer and had to have a breast removed. And then just recently, there's more lumps showed up on the other side now. So here we go again with Nini Luena. So yeah, I'd ask you to just pray for these people who in some way were able to have an input in their lives so that they can keep on serving. So I've got our local ministry, if I just quickly say they're quite unique. We just had the Herald of Hope meetings down there. End Time Ministries, pretty interesting, particularly with all of what's going on at the moment and really focusing on, the falling away, both in and out of the church, and all the mess that our nation is in today. So we're just very blessed, aren't we, that we can keep on keeping our team here. Brian's part of that team, and Paul Appleby, and they're training up a Timothy. His name is Murray. He's 40 years old or thereabouts, and he gets in there and helps them with delivering the hospital beds and things to folk here who are looking after their loved ones at home. So, you know, we praise the Lord that we can help some of our people here as well, not just sending it all overseas. So we praise the Lord for that. And if I could just mention a special prayer request, appreciate your prayers. We've got a special meeting on this coming Friday. And if any of you have been through a legal thing before, this is what they call a mediation on Friday. I won't go into details about it, but the old devil, for 14 years, that's been our thorn in the flesh, dealing with a situation that should never have been. Just the old devil in there trying to get us out of the ministry. That's what it's all about. So if you've gone through some hard times at the moment, just put the finger on the old devil. He's just trying to stir you up and get you out of service. And that's how he does it, through health, through situations, whatever. So if I could ask you to pray about that. This morning's message, well, we're nearly done. It's nearly 11-ish, brother. I'll do my best with what time we go on from here. I'd like to, just recently, a very close member in the family has been going through some real struggles, dealing with sleeping and not giving it over to God. You know, not resting in the Lord, not trusting in the Lord, not really just releasing everything to the Lord. And you know, it doesn't matter what circumstance we're in, if we do not come to that place, we will be in struggle street constantly. We must give everything over to the Lord, whether it be illness, whether it be financial situations or marital situations or problems with the children or whatever it be. We just got to give it over. Because you know what? The Lord's got the best washing machine. Right? The Lord's got the best washing machine. And he can clean it all up. He can sort it all out. You know, we try and deal with things ourselves. But, you know, it's futile. And because of this situation that came up, it's just interesting. We've got this little second-hand shop. Down in Sheffield, only a little town, and it's called The Hub, and it's amazing. You know, people just give in there, their prices are real low, and they've got this little box out the front, and of course, you know, they put out books and different things that are freebies, but then you go in and shop and you just pay a couple of dollars or whatever. Anyway, there was another copy, this Andrew Murray's Waiting on God, and it was just sitting in the box there, and I thought, oh, I remember that book from, you know, quite a ways back. I'll nab that one. It's creepy. I like creepy. And off I went home. And just quite remarkably, just started, you know, fanning through the pages a little. And it was just exactly what this particular person, you know, it's like as if the Lord said, here, I give them that. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, give them that. Well, now, I don't know who out there today, I'm not regularly here, but I know some of you got problems. And I'm not a Pentecostal or a charismatic to say, oh, there's someone down there with their AA, blah, blah, blah. But I know for sure a lot of you have got problems. Is that true? It might be health issues, it might be family issues, it might be personal issues, whatever. And those situations, we've got to learn what to do with them. Because if we don't know what to do with them, we're actually like this. And it gets a bit weird after a while trying to fix it on our own. And you know what? The key to doing it is waiting on God. Learning to wait on God. Now I'm going to read you a couple of segments. So the topic today is really waiting on God and returning to the place of absolute surrender. You know, we have these things, these problems, but we don't surrender them. You know, we surrender our life to the Lord and we get saved, amen? But then what about life's problems? What about life's struggles? Aren't we instructed in the Word that they too we are to give over to God? And yet we're a little bit like this. You know, well, I know God wants me to give it over, but, you know, if I just do this and I just do that, and it's not fixed. And time goes on. And as we know, things get worse. So we're talking about winning over worry. We're winning over worry, replacing feelings with facts and faith. You know, a lot of us live our lives based on our feelings. And if we live our lives based on our feelings, sometimes we're feeling good and sometimes we're feeling bad and everything in between that. But if we base our lives on facts and faith, you know, I believe it, God said it, and that settles it. Now, whether we believe it or not doesn't change the fact that it's settled. And we've got to get that one right, you know. So it's most important that if we turn to, if I can encourage you, this is one of my life verses and it's helped me so much, Psalm 27. If you can turn to Psalm 27, we're going to read just a few verses of scripture dealing with winning over worry, replacing feelings with facts and faith. And if I could just mention here, Psalm 27, and my favourite verses are verses 13 and 14. As Paul, Brian probably knows, and most times when I send a text, I whack it on there. Some people probably look it up and some people don't. But anyway, if they do, they'll get a little charge up from the Lord. Amen. But verse 13 and 14, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait, I say, on the Lord, or wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, there's a lot in that. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whether we feel good or whether we feel bad or whether we feel whatever. It's all to do with believing to see the goodness of the Lord in our lives, in the lives of others, you know, in our nation, you know, whatever the situation may be. But the call is to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And that's talking about while we're waiting on the Lord to be of good courage. You know, knowing that he's, you know, he's going to fix it up. He's got it all sorted out. It's just that we get impatient. There's another verse that says that we need to wait for him patiently. We don't like that verse, do we, some of us? The hard one. We don't like the word patiently. But when we learn some patience with the Lord, and we have to learn that, because, you know, he works outside of time and we don't. We're in his time frame. And we come to the Lord, waiting on the Lord and, you know, bringing our requests, you know, to the Lord as we're instructed to do, believing that he's going to sort them out, and he will. But we've got a time limit on it. We've got a time space. And if it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. But, you know, while we are waiting, he is working constantly. And it's not to do with the answer to that particular prayer. It's to do with what he's doing, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, how long he wants to do it. He'll just keep doing it. And eventually, given time, some of those requests that we make known unto God are answered, and we see it. We can look back in retrospect. But you know, there are some things that God is still working on. And still working on. But we want to pull God down to our time. And it doesn't work. So if we learn some of these, just these little basic things. Now, if you can turn with me to Psalm 25, and we'll look at verse, let's see there. Where are we? Verse 5. Lead me in thy path and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, you know, some people think, does that mean that the psalmist there is praying all day? No, that means that if he's got up in the morning or she's got up in the morning and had some time with the Lord and leave it there, giving it over to God. And as you're going through the day of responsibilities and things, you're still waiting on the Lord. You're believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's carrying on that waiting. As you're going about your responsibilities, looking after the children, dealing with work, whatever it be, waiting all the day. If we can look at verse 21 of Psalm 25, it says, Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, so as we look at these, and of course, I'm sure many of us are familiar with Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, which is, you know, pretty amazing. You know, it talks about be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Don't be careful. Don't be full of care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Waiting on God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. You see, that verse is conditional, isn't it? You know, the verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. So if you've waited on God, say, and had that special time with the Lord, and you've given over to the Lord, and you're waiting even all the day throughout the day, you know, and just allowing, and don't expect, he may not answer that day, he might not answer, but we've been waiting for 14 years for one situation that I just mentioned to you. And it's finally come to a mediation. 14 years. You know, some people, I remember the Lentons. Anybody know of the Lentons that went to Italy, missionaries? You know, their children, I think some of their children are still there now. This is years and years ago. They ministered there for, I think it was about, you remember the Lentons, do you? Yeah, vaguely. 19 years, first convert. First real convert. Yet there was a lot of sympathizers coming in and listening to the preaching and all the rest of it going on. But their first real convert that truly was born again and the fruit from that person. Can you imagine how they felt after 19, almost 20 years? Faithfulness. Waiting on God. So we're not talking about waiting on God for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or a day or a month or a year. It can be years. But the key is to do what God said. To give it to God and just wait. And if we've given it to him and we're just waiting and believing that he's doing whatever he's doing, well, then we're not worrying. And if we're not worrying, then we can get on with what we're supposed to be doing. And you know what? We'll be better as a result of that in the area. You know, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, it says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. You see, there's a whole purpose for committing things to God, leaving them with God, stepping back then, believing that God's got it all sorted, whether it's now, a few years' time, whenever it is, it's there, right? And then there's no stress. It takes the stress out of everything. It takes the worry out of everything. But you know what we do? We go to the Lord, and I've been guilty of this one. You know, I'll read you a little bit about Andrew Murray, and you'll be quite surprised. But I can relate to that, which I'll add to that too. But, you know, oftentimes we'll give it to the Lord, and then about lunchtime, we just took it back again. And so we've got to go back and give it to the Lord again because we didn't do what we were supposed to do the first time. And we wonder why we're miserable and we're down and out and all the rest of it and have difficulty being a chosen vessel, being a vessel, you know, fit for the Lord's use. Because we're worrying about something that we gave to the Lord and took it back when we should have left it there. Amen? And so we've got to get that concept that it's a simple process. It's like ABC. It's not a huge, big equation, scientific, that you've got to work it all out and come down to a final answer. It's just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and be of strength. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But, you know, the key is I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord. If we're believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that's facts turned into faith. The facts have based it, and the faith then is believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? It's going to happen because God's word said it will happen. Only it's his timing, not ours. So we've got to get that down. Now, just a little bit about Andrew Murray. Right. Here we go. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I've got a question, and it's a question that Andrew Murray asked quite some years ago. And the question is this. It's a very important question. Has the life of God's people reached the utmost limit of what God is willing to do for them? Right? It's on the back here. Has the life of God's people reached the utmost limit of what God is willing to do for them? And, of course, the answer is surely not. Right? Okay. With this bold statement, Andrew Murray challenges believers to practice the art of waiting only on God, not on self-ability, not on somebody else. You know? Oftentimes we... I have pastored before and I know what it's like. Sometimes the pastors are used for a paramedic. You know what I mean by that? You know, every time someone gets a headache or they've got a little problem or whatever, they come to the pastor and think really can quick fix it. Instead of them going to the Word of God and sorting it out themselves. Now, I'm not saying the pastor has a ministry of pastoring. That's what it's all about in Scripture. But, you know, there are a lot of things that we can deal with if we wait on God and believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and leave it with him and he'll sort it out in good time. Amen? That's how it is. That's fact with faith attached to it. And that gets rid of feeling. Whether I feel bad, good, whatever, it's got nothing to do with it. The fact is that if I come to a place where I can believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that is the battle. The battle is over. The struggle is over. The stress is over. It's just a matter of time in God's time, on God's timeline, wherever that fits. So with this bold statement, Andrew Murray challenges believers to practice the art of waiting only on God. In 31 brief chapters arranged as readings for each day of the month, Murray leads us in the school of waiting, of being silent before God in complete trust and dependence. The lessons learned and the answers received through the act of faith far exceed the time spent and build in us trust, confidence in God, and patience. Invest 31 days with Murray in waiting upon God. The results will be more than you could ask for. So, you know, I'm just recommending a little book, you know. And don't get indigestion because, you know, some of these later. Now, Andrew Murray was born in 1828. And he died in 1916 at the age of 88. And he was addressing he was invited to go along to a welcome breakfast at Exeter Hall in England. And at the age of 67, now I'm 68, so I can identify there. Now, he was a very discouraged minister around 25, serving the Lord. Here he is at 67, and he's starting to realise there's a closer walk with the Lord. Can you catch that? He was 40-odd years in ministry, struggling in the early ministry, went along 40-odd years, and then came to the point of realisation that it wasn't just him, but there was a lot of missionaries and other individuals out there serving God and really struggling. Why? Because they had not learned to wait on God. So really it's an easy fix. It really is an easy fix if we accept a couple of things. Now, I'd like to, how are we going there? I'll just keep an eye on the time. So is 11:30 max? Can I go about another 10, 15 minutes? Is that okay? Yeah, I've got the signal. So is everybody okay with that? All right. Okay, so we'll just see if we can squish it in. Now, I'm just about to do a website, and it's going to be called Liberty Online Bible School. And a lot of the things that, some of the old messages that I preached years ago, I'm going to be picking out, and I'm sure that they're going to have to be redone again, because you know what? That was then, and this is now. And if there's no growth in between, there's a problem. Amen? You know, that's how God works in us, isn't it? Both the will and to do of his good pleasure. He's just working away there while we should be waiting. And I hope that I can encourage you in some way. Okay, so we looked at the back cover of the book, that particular one. Now, that's right, I was saying to you, the publishers, they get hold of good nuggets, golden nuggets, and you know what they do with it? They get out the perversions and add their little bit to it. Don't let that put you off. Just go to good old King James and read up what, you know, Andrew Murray said. And, you know, what he's referring to, and you'll do well. Amen? So, if I can just read the preface of this book, just for a moment, it says, and this is when he was addressing the Exeter breakfast, previous to my leaving home for England last year, I had been much impressed by the thought of how in all our religion, personal and public, we need more of God. Is there anybody here that does not need more of God in their lives? Well, we're all honest. We need more of God. Amen? That's a true fact. And to make the cultivation of a deeper sense of his presence, of more direct contact with him, of entire dependence on him, a definite aim of our ministry. At a welcome breakfast in Exeter Hall, I gave very simple expression to this thought in connection with all our Christian work. And this was on the 31st of May, 1895, and he was aged 67. So this is in the latter part of his life. He'd learned a few things in God's school of hard knocks. Just like I'm learning a few things in God's school of hard knocks, and I'm sure some of you are
also. Any nods there? Are you learning a few things? You know, and sometimes it's pretty painful, isn't it? But, you know, the Lord gets it through. Why? Because I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the key. That's faith. So look, really memorize that verse. You know, Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Okay. And then this is how he addressed it. I have been surprised at nothing more than at the letters that have come to me from missionaries and others from all parts of the world, devoted men and women, testifying to the need they feel in their work of being helped to a deeper and clearer insight into all that God, Christ, could be to them. Let us look to God to reveal himself among his people in a measure very few have realized. Let us expect great things of our God. Wasn't it a missionary who said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God? Amen? It's along the same lines. At all our conventions and assemblies, too little time is given to waiting on God. Is he not willing to put things right in his own divine way? Has the life of God's people reached the utmost limit of what God is willing to do for them? Surely not. We need to wait on him to put away our experiences, however blessed they have been, our conceptions of truth, however sound and scriptural we think they seem, our plans, however needful and suitable they appear, and give God time and place to show us what he could do, what he will do. God has new developments and new resources. He can do new things, unheard of things, hidden things. Let us enlarge our hearts and not limit him. As I have already said, I was surprised at the response I saw that God's Spirit had been working the same desire in many hearts. The experience of the past year, both personal and public, have greatly deepened the conviction. It is as if I myself am only beginning, at the age of 67, only beginning after 40-odd years of walking with the Lord, only beginning to see the deepest truth concerning God and our relationship to him centers in waiting on God. And how very little in our life and work we have been sensitive to this need. The following pages are the outcome of my conviction and of my desire to direct the attention of all God's people to the one great remedy for all our needs. I send them out with the prayer that he who loves to use the feeble may give his blessing with them. I do not know if it will be possible for me to put into a few words what are the chief things we need to learn, but what I want to say here is this. Everybody listening? The great lack of our Christianity today is that we do not know God. The answer to every complaint of weakness and failure, the message to every congregation or convention seeking instruction on holiness ought to be simply, what is the matter? Where is your God? If you really believe in God, he will put all things right. He is both willing and able. So stop expecting the solution from yourself. That's one of our big problems, trying to self-fix it. Or the answer from anything there is in man. We go and ask somebody else and get counsel, and then we wonder why everything got messed up. And just yield yourselves unreservedly to God to work in you. He will do all for you. How simple this looks, and yet this is the good news we so little know. And then he commits the book. And the verse that he permeates this whole thing on is Psalm 62, verse 5, where it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So the first study or first part of the study that I'm dealing with this particular person is, you know, I can remember preaching some messages some years ago on, you know, we Christians have fainting fits. You know, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But oftentimes we have fainting fits, don't we? Because we've got our eyes on self, we've got our eyes on the problem, we've got our eyes on everything else instead of waiting on God. And then, you know, and that's danger territory. So part one of the study, and I can't go any further with it with you, but is weary and fainting. You know, if we realise that that's where God wants to get us, it's a little bit like the prodigal, and God got him in the pig pen, and then he realised how good things were back at home. Well, God wants to get us in our lives, in our circumstance and situation and whatever it be, whether it be health or whatever, to get us into that situation where things are much better if we give it over to God. Amen? That's the key. And so weary and fainting, that's now, you know, we know the scripture there, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know, if we're trying to deal with situations in a fleshly way, we're just going to reap corruption. And then part two is waiting and praying. That's sowing to the Spirit. That's reaping life. You know, God wants us to have an abundant life. Amen? You know, Paul put it this way in Ephesians 3, there, at verse 20, he said, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Above all we ask or think. And we even have a chorus, you know, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's what my God can do. And so if we sort of bear in mind believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, part three is committing and submitting. That's making some definite decisions about this matter. Part four is resting and expecting. You know, my expectation is from him. That's leaving all to God. And then part five is growing and knowing. You know, when we get to that spot where we've given it over to God and we've grown to that point where we know he does all things well because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so that growing and knowing is reaping life everlasting. You know, when we, you know, our eternal life starts from the moment we get saved. And sure, this old body dies, but our spirit is quickened. Is that right? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've been made alive in Christ. And so God wants us to have an abundant life. But if we've got the cart behind us with all our problems and our worries and our sicknesses and our family situations and all the rest of it, and we're the one that's energizing the motion, you know, and we're just, you know, and oftentimes there's more stuff being thrown into the wagon daily, you know, you get to the point where you just can't move anymore. Isn't it a simple equation? If we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, if we turned around and looked at that wagon full of stuff there and just give this over to you, Lord, yeah. I can't handle it, Lord. So what is the keynote that we can finish on, a couple of minutes to finish on? When we look at believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and, you know, what I have advised, and you know, this is a good remedy. You know, we need to do things in a physical way. You know, oftentimes when we say grace, a lot of times it's paraphrasing, isn't it? The same old words, pretty much. We might throw in a new word here or there, you know, but we've given thanks. Depends on our heart as to how we attach that to God. Similarly, when we come to the Lord in prayer, oftentimes we come to the Lord in prayer paraphrasing. We pray for the same thing here and the same thing there. But doesn't the Bible warn us against vain repetition? Have to be careful in that area. So there's some things. Yes, you know, we're to lay our burden down at the Lord's feet, as it were, as we come to Him in prayer. And so if I can just read off a couple of these things, these sayings, some from Andrew Murray. God only asks us to yield and to consent, to wait on Him, and He will do it all. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Is your expectation from God? Are you believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Or do you quit on God and think, oh, well, God can't solve my problem? It's too big. Well, come back to God and come back to the Bible and find out, is anything too hard for God? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And what's the answer? God can. You know, we've got to know that God is able. You know, I preached a message just recently in the Philippines. Avail-ability. Our part is to make ourselves available. Amen? But you know, the ability comes from Him. For of Him and to Him and through Him are all things, to God be the glory. Forever. Amen. So another saying. Morning devotion time is a time of quietening our thoughts, our noisy soul, lots of things happening in the mind, seeking, waiting, praying to God alone, who alone is able and always ready to work all good, yielding to Him in humility and stillness, surrendering to Him and His will, His calling and bidding. God's Spirit then quickens the faith that He will perfect His work. Amen? He quickens the faith. He makes that faith, yeah, that's active. And, you know, we rise up and we're ready to get it. We're ready to go. Fully charged. Like a fully charged up battery. Amen? Now, what happens to a battery after a while? Okay, so we've got to memorize. See, this is the key part when we go through all this process. And so if we understand that, you know, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Is God going to finish the work that He started in our lives? That's a promise. And so, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. He's the one doing it. And He's faithful. Now, salvation of the soul is already completed for all eternity, but daily we are instructed by God to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we've got to do our part. And what's that work? Well, read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, you know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, the best way I've found when a negative thought comes into my head, you know how I fix the devil? I quote a verse of scripture at him and he's gone, he's finished, he's at it. It works. So when you're waiting on God, you know if I can make a statement, we are sustained and maintained by God. Amen. I'll give you a couple of verses on that. Psalm 3:5, it says, I laid me down and slept, I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. Amen. In Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then as far as maintaining, Psalm 140, verse 12, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. So with that in mind, if if you want to ask me afterwards, or if you want a copy of my notes or something, I don't know if you have that. Each day, and I'm finishing now, each day, early in the morning, come before the Lord. You say, I can't do that, I've got to go to work. Guess what? Get up early. Get up early. Amen. Now, oftentimes, sometimes, You don't have to actually some have devotions in different ways. If I'm meditating on something and I wake up meditating on what I'm still being meditating on, I take that as my devotion because God is still dealing with that. And if I cut that off and then get something fresh, well, then I just miss the train on something. And I don't like missing the train. You know, we sort of think that we have to be like robots, you know. Time for prayer, time for this, time for that. We need to be faithful. But God does work in lots of different ways in our lives. And so part of Scripture is to read Scripture. It's also to memorize Scripture and it's to meditate on Scripture. And as we memorize Scripture and meditate on Scripture, it becomes part of us. It's there. And when the devil comes along or something, situation comes up, no show, no go. See you later, Charlie. You're gone. You're bad. You know, because we've armed ourselves. You know, and that. So the first thing was to make a list of all we can think of regarding the goodness of the Lord, and we will get surprised. You know, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Amen. So a list of the goodness of the Lord. I call it the goodness of the Lord list. Number two, add daily to this list daily benefits. You know, God gives us daily benefits throughout the day and add them to your goodness of the Lord list. Daily benefits. Okay. Thirdly, as you read through your list, give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness to you. You know, giving thanks. Fourthly, read through again the introductory notes of the study, Waiting on God. That's to do with, the scriptures and so on. Fifthly, add any scripture verses, words of hymns and spiritual songs, poems. You know, it says singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is that what we should be doing? Well, then we're not giving place to the devil, are we, if we've got the words of a hymn. Who wakes up sometimes in the morning and you're singing a hymn? I got my hand up because I do, and Michael does. See, he's got his hand up. Yeah, isn't it great? You can wake up in the morning and there's God, you know, coming through one of those grand old hymns, and it just starts it out on a great note. Sixthly, read one chapter of Andrew Murray's book, Waiting on God, then ask God in prayer to remove your thorn in the flesh, whatever the major problems are in your life, whether it be health, family, financial, whatever. You know, you're bringing that to the Lord and waiting on God with it. Remember that, you know, in his time, he'll deal with it. Remember that timeline there is different to our timeline. And then finally, rise and get busy with your day of responsibility while meditating on your time spent privately with God. Memorizing at least one verse of what God has given you in that little session. Are we to think that we can come before God and pray and do those things that God has instructed us to do, and then the Holy Spirit, which brings things, who brings things to our remembrance, teaches us all things, comforts us. If we understand the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we come into that session there and we can get then something will come out of that. A verse of scripture. Write it down like a memory card. This is how I used to memorize scripture in Bible school. And I'd have that in front of me, whatever I was doing, and then there it is there. If the devil comes in and he wants to just get you off track, just quote that verse of scripture to him, and he won't hang around. And you can get on with your day, and you're on a positive foundation. You're just cruising along there with God. Now, you might say, that all sounds very nice and rosy and dandy and everything. If I can encourage you today with this verse, wait upon the Lord. Now, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So if you have any negative thoughts coming in through your day, any worries, anything that's coming to try and get at you, just quote aloud scripture back to him. You'll be amazed. It's better than any tablet you can ever take. It's better than any medication that anybody else can ever give. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy property may appear unto all. You will then become a little bright light, that when you come into a situation, people know there's something about you that's a little different. And guess what? They will want what you have, because that's how God works in and through you for his glory. Amen? Just closing again, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. There's a lot more that I could give you, but that will do us for now. And thank you for your patience. I know I've gone over time, and I thank you for it. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for these saints of old, like Andrew Murray and R.A. Torrey and different ones, Lord, who, Lord, you've worked in their hearts and lives throughout the years, and then they've put pen to paper and written things down that we might glean some of the things that they've learned only through practical experience of giving themselves to you. Lord, this one on waiting on God, Lord, help us to be a part of our life. Lord, help us to think and to understand and to want to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, help us to learn the process of waiting on God. And Lord, being reminded momentarily throughout the day that our expectation is from him. And Lord, all these things we pray.